Today on Jay Sekulow Live, with 13 days until the election and polls tightening, could it be deja vu all over again? We'll talk about that more today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, folks, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Of course, tomorrow is the final presidential debate in Nashville, Tennessee. That's at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So there'll be a lot of focus on that going into that, and then, of course, out of that on Friday. But we're starting to look at the polls and where they were state by state in the last election cycle, where Hillary Clinton was, where Donald Trump was, where Joe Biden is, and how things turned out. And if you go and you start looking at key states, you know, take Michigan, for example, which was carried by President Trump in 2016 by 0.3%. 4 years ago, Hillary Clinton was leading in Michigan in the RCP, the Real Clear Politics average of polls, so the poll of polls, by over 11 points, 11 and a half points, so way outside the margin of error. And she lost the state by 0.3%. Donald Trump took Michigan. Joe Biden is only up 6.7. So he's 5 points behind where Hillary Clinton was. And you look at, again, how things turned out there. Look at Wisconsin, where Hillary Clinton was up 7 points 4 years ago at this point. Biden only at 6.3, so he's under where Hillary Clinton is again, and President Trump carried that state by 0.7. In states where Hillary Clinton did win, so in battlegrounds like New Hampshire, she was showing that she was up 8, and she won only by 0.3. Biden is showing he's up 11 in New Hampshire. These were not states, by the way, that Donald Trump has to win. Just giving you some examples. They're not all Trump victory states, but for instance, in Nevada, it showed Hillary Clinton was up 3.7%. She carried the state by 2.4. Right now, the polls are showing that Biden's up 5. In another major battleground like Florida, for instance, Clinton was up 4 in the polls. Biden was up is up 1.7 in the polls. Trump carried it by 1.2 points in 2016. So you could go through this list and you see, again, Ohio is the last one I want to hit right now, just numbers-wise, because it just showed these are kind of one of the extreme turnout numbers. So 4 years ago, Trump was up 0.6%. I mean, it's not really much. So basically, it's tied. This year, the Real Clear Politics average puts Biden up 0.6, but Trump carried the state by 8.1 points. So in 2016. So I think that, again, as we said, that the left, they love to put all this focus on how it could be a landslide for Joe Biden, and the idea they're trying to get you not to show up to vote. But I think what happens is it's their side that shows up, that decides not to show up to vote, because you start hearing numbers like that from the left. What I'm telling you is it's very close, and every one of these states is winnable for conservatives. What they like to do is say how, you know, Donald Trump has no chance. And that's absurd when you're speaking to the left, which is what they do on MSNBC and these other networks, and you're telling people basically they don't need to go and show up to vote. There's another interesting poll out today that showed that 60%+ of Trump supporters are still too nervous to put a sign out in their yard or a bumper sticker on their car. That's a huge number. Talk about silent majorities. There it is. It shows up in that poll. So I think that, again, there is, you can see this kind of more optimism on the right. It needs to be, obviously, people have got to show up. They've got to vote. And I think that you're starting to see the left more concerned. Why President Obama hitting the campaign trail about where exactly they are less than 2 weeks out from Election Day. We're going to take your phone calls on this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. A lot to unpack just here as we do this kind of compare and contrast to where we were 4 years ago to where we are today. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls. What we want to do today was kind of look at, because I think this is making a lot of kind of waves throughout the political world, and that is when you start now digging deeper into these polls, state-by-state polls, not just national polls, but state-by-state polls, and you realize you look at where Hillary Clinton was 4 years ago, you look at where Donald Trump was 4 years ago, and you look at how things turned out. Well, you know how things turned out with Donald Trump winning the election, but also winning states that Republicans had not been able to win in a few cycles, like Wisconsin, like the states like Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and of course, I mean, on here, the only, when you really look at where things are, it is strikingly similar. Strikingly similar to exactly where Hillary Clinton was. Now, does that mean it's the same election? No. Does it mean we have President Trump's spent 4 years in office, so there's more to judge about exactly his governance style and what he's been able to accomplish? We have COVID. We have other, you know, things that there's outliers. Hillary Clinton had a lot of things going for her, but also mostly against her. You know, they wanted to say it was first president who was a woman, but she had so many negatives that it even kind of outweighed that notion or that kind of that kind of campaign pitch, because she was so well known and had it kind of divided people. Then you got, you know, so Joe Biden is different than that potentially, but he also hasn't been out there very much. He certainly, he's like this week, there's a debate and he's done nothing but practice for a debate. I mean, that's an hour and a half. It's important, but we're not ever sure exactly how important those debates are really anymore, unless you have just a horrendous performance and people pick up on that because people are so partisan and who pays attention. But to do nothing all week. And to me, I want to go right to Than Bennett, Washington, D.C., because Than, I think when you look at this, if you're a Democrat strategist, you got to start figuring out, okay, maybe we're trying to play in a dozen plus states, but we need to choose eight of these and really push forward, because we cannot live off these polls. We're not going to survive off of 4-point leads.
Yeah, first of all, I just don't think it's a very good strategy for the former vice president to allow the president to be out among the states and then just to be solely preparing for debates. I don't think that's a good way to connect with voters. But, Jordan, when you look at the numbers and you ran through them, this is why I talked about on yesterday's broadcast how I think the only good analysis doesn't start with the polls. It starts with the 2016 result as the basis and then looks at these state-based polls on top of that foundation. And you're right, Jordan, you've got to look at it in comparison to how they were 4 years ago, because there's no doubt that there's still a silent or a shy majority. There's no doubt that we have seen consistent problems in how they do polling, whether it's the sample makeup, whether or not it's, you know, they look at registered voters or likely voters, and then how accurate they are about whether or not those voters are likely. But Jordan, as I look at those list of states that you went through, there are 12 states there. The president outperformed, not in the majority of them last time, he outperformed in all 12 of them in 2016, and some of them, many of them, by wide margins, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12 points, Jordan. So look, if I'm inside Vice President Joe Biden's campaign right now, and I'm looking at these numbers, and I'm comparing them against 2016, I got to be honest with you, I'm scheduling visits in all 12 of these states and probably repeated visits. I wouldn't want to be just preparing for the debate, because those numbers are not friendly to him. Let's put it that way, Jordan.
Let me ask you folks, 1-800-684-3110, that's 1-800-684-3110. And wanna, if you are in one of those battleground states, so a state where you're getting a lot of traction, you see the ads, you have the campaigns, maybe you've got people knocking on your door, maybe you're volunteering, maybe you're making phone calls and knocking on doors on the weekend, or you're, the rallies are coming, and so you see the signage. And you know, if you're in a solidly blue or red state, you don't get that same feeling. So I want to hear from you, those of you who are in these states, like, I'll run it down, New Hampshire, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Nevada, Texas, Arizona, North Carolina, Florida, Iowa, Georgia, Ohio. Give us a call. What does it feel like on the ground in your communities and what you're hearing and what you're seeing at 1-800-684-3110? Because that also gives a true sense. I mean, the fact is, if you don't actually talk to people in an honest and open way right now, where people feel safe in their discussions, as that poll showed, 60% of people are scared to tell their neighbors that they support Donald Trump, to put a sign in their yard. And about 65% are too nervous to have it on their car as a bumper sticker. Now, I will tell you, last election cycle, it was, again, it seemed like it was more of a statement. This time around, I've told people this silent majority, if you really believe it, if you care, people need to know that you who you support. And I think it's important in this cycle. But it is, I think it does make a very true statement that this idea that people are still, 60% of people are too nervous to put the bumper sticker or the yard sign out. And imagine what that's like if you are in one of those swing states. But when you look at these numbers, it has got to be extremely, all these talk. I mean, even there's a Drudge headline right now. And I think Drudge has gone off the rails a bit, specifically because President Trump has made it kind of irrelevant. These news aggregators, because he breaks news before you can even get the link up. So I'm sure it has not made Matt Drudge's advertising any easier. So he's kind of, he'll put up these things and say negative, is there going to be a Biden landslide? And you look at the number. I mean, the numbers aren't there right now for a landslide. Now, it doesn't like necessarily to be a landslide for anyone when it comes to how much you won a state by. Electoral landslide, if you look at where things were in 2016 and where they are today, it would favor President Trump electorally. Would it be close in states? Yes, he won very close victory. He won Michigan by 0.3. He won Wisconsin by 0.7. Pennsylvania by 0.7. You look at others, though, that they're trying to say they're battlegrounds. He won by, Texas by 9, and he's up 5 in the polls right now. He was up 5 in the polls last time. Arizona showed Clinton up 1. This time it shows Biden up 4, but there's a new poll out that only has Biden up 1 in Arizona. You see it and you say, okay, and President Trump doesn't have to win every state he won to get to 270.
The only real outlier is that the president was up 4.6 in Georgia. He ended up winning by 5.1, so that was pretty accurate. This one has Biden up 1.2. So, which is a little bit different. So, I mean, that's the what appears to be kind of the outlier here.
Yeah, even there though, where it finished, it would
Trump
still
finished at 8.
Yeah,
plus 8.
Yeah. So, and then so, Trump would win.
I mean, plus five, excuse me.
The problem is it still overcomes those margins if those polls are accurate. This is a much more nerve-wracking sign for Joe Biden's campaign that is supposed to be, oh, on this path to this victory, and it was supposed to be so easy, and oh, it's so easy to beat Donald Trump. Not so easy, because...
Well, look at Pennsylvania is the best example of that.
Yes, where you could really... I mean, Hillary Clinton had a six-point lead in the polls, say the same average of polls. Joe Biden's under that, and Trump won it by 0.7. So Joe Biden's only got a five-point lead. So again, if you start if on election night, if those states start falling on the East Coast to Donald Trump, yeah, they're going to be crying on MSNBC real early in the evening. The question is going to be, like we've talked about, will we get enough of results where they start crying on election night? Because you know, in Pennsylvania, they've got three extra days to count. North Carolina, nine extra days if the circuit court ruling, circuit court just weighed in there.
Which
9 days
in North Carolina?
Yeah, 9 days, and that
just on the phone on that.
Yeah, I mean, so that'll get appeal. But again, you could see
those appeals are moved. The North Carolina appeals are going to move very quickly because they came out. There's a Fourth Circuit case, and then there's a North Carolina Supreme Court case. So there's a number of cases in the pipeline that are going to move very quickly to the Supreme Court. I think it's conceivable, Jordan, that you have two cases at the Supreme Court. Possibly this weekend.
Yeah. Folks, I want to continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to start doing that when we get back from the next break. But I think, Than, when you look at these numbers again, and you kind of see, of course, we have a debate Thursday. This is the final debate. I predict there'll be a lot of people tuning in. But at this point, you're speaking to a very narrow audience who has not yet voted and has not yet chosen who they are going to vote for.
You're speaking to a narrow audience, Jordan, but, you know, the one advantage I think the president's campaign has is you're speaking to the same audience you won over the last time. I mean, when you went through some of those numbers in the Rust Belt, and I would specifically say Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, you know, I think Joe Biden's campaign would probably say, well, look, the president probably needs to win three out of those four to win it. But then the president's campaign would come right back and say, oh, but I won all four of them last time. So you're completely correct. They're speaking to a narrow band of voters. I think the biggest difference, though, is one of the candidates has already convinced them very recently to vote for them. That's a big advantage.
All right, folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. People are going to weigh in. We've asked people to call in from this list of states. So we've got calls in from New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. Ready to go. When we get back on Jay Sekulow Live, as always, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And again, I think that this is a critical time for you to begin weighing in. We are 13 days out from Election Day, 13 days out from deciding who the next commander-in-chief will be in the United States. Will it remain President Trump, or will we take a giant shift to the left in our country with a President Biden? There's two very different choices for people. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow. We're going to start taking your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. We've asked people to call in specifically from these battleground states, and I want to go right to Ruth in New Hampshire on line one. Ruth, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi. I just wanted to let you guys know that the enthusiasm in New Hampshire, especially in my town, which is Candia, is through the roof for Trump. And we've been seeing signs for months, not just little signs, I mean huge signs all over the place. And really the only time that I've seen any Biden signs is in the last month or two. And I'd say they're 15 to 1 for Trump signs, yeah. 15 Trump signs to every one Biden sign.
Yeah, that's interesting, though, because if you look at the Real Clear Politics average, they have the Vice President Biden up by 11 in your state. Hillary Clinton was up 8 4 years ago, and she ended up winning New Hampshire by 0.3.
Yeah, which means...
So the polls are meaningless.
The polls in New Hampshire, I think, are very tough. People there are very independent-minded voters. They're used to politics. They get a lot of politicians all the time. I think that it trends that way just because it's a northeastern state. So the polling will trend in the Democrats' direction. But as you see, the results don't. The results don't turn out that way naturally there. So, again, it does come down to, one, this is a different kind of turnout election. And as we take more of your calls, it is a different kind of turnout election because you don't have... You're not doing the exact same kind of grassroots you would if there wasn't COVID. So you do have people still getting out the vote. You have the phone calls. You do have door-to-door campaigning in some places. But it's not the same. So this is really going to be up to your own supporters' enthusiasm.
Yep.
To go out and actually vote. Even to put the ballot in correctly in the mailbox. You have to do it correctly or else the ballot doesn't get counted. I think that you're already... And you will see that Republican voters are much more motivated voters. They know if they don't show up, they always lose because there are less Republicans than Democrats registered. So if Democrats have to really work hard on turnout and they have become a party that has become extremely reliant on specific segments of our population, the African-American vote, and winning 99% of that vote, but also turning out the vote in significant numbers. Is Joe Biden going to be able to do that? And Kamala is going to be able to do that when they're not even really out there and their campaigns are not very visible? That's a big question.
It's interesting about the Kamala Harris not being visible because clearly, she had some exposure to COVID-19, so they pulled her off. But you don't hear a lot, frankly, since the vice presidential debate. Where clearly, in my view, I think it was overwhelmingly a victory for the Vice President Mike Pence. And I think she's de-escalated her presence, I think is fair to say. But they're also, look, they've got a strategy with Joe Biden that it's very clear. And that is a strategy that says less is more. So they keep putting a lid on it. They basically bought this whole week with him doing nothing other than debate prep.
Right. And I think that, again, that's putting a lot into a debate. That's almost like too much into a debate. It's like,
especially when debates you're reportedly ahead.
If debates are important, yes, but everyone knows they really don't turn the election. So, especially when so many people have already voted.
Yeah.
So you need to motivate your people to get out and vote, right? So why are you giving up these days of not being anywhere and not being visible? So you're letting the story about your son and these laptops dominate.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, Than, I was going to ask you this because I know that's... That's swirling around Washington right now is the whole Hunter Biden saga and that story and the FBI now with the laptop and all of that. Putting that in just perspective, but there is an intentional move here on behalf of the Biden campaign to not have him out. I mean, and it's because I think of this other stuff.
I do think that other stuff is adding to it for sure. I think part of that decision was made prior to it, Jay. Just and on one level, I get it because the vice president is not that compelling in that setting. And I think their strategic decision was to keep him off the trail. But look, I still think it's a mistake, even if he's not that compelling. I think it's 2016 all over again. This is what Hillary Clinton decided to do, to put it on coast. It did not work out for her. And the other thing is, Jay, I think it turns it into more of what Jordan just talked about, which is which of these campaigns can use the virtual world to connect with their voters better. I mean, look, has there ever been a better candidate at that than the president of the United States with his presence on social media? So, it's a strategic decision on behalf of Joe Biden's campaign. In my view, it's a poor one.
Yeah, I think they have made a calculation, though. I don't want to take, anything for granted here. I think at the end of the day, Than, this is going to become all about turnout. Who is going to get, whether it's early voting or day of voting, it's going to be a question of turnout. If you look at the polls, we are exactly where we were with, one outlier being Georgia. We are exactly where we were this very day 4 years ago.
We saw how that turned out. I agree with you that it's going to be about turnout. I would maybe add one layer to that. It's going to be about more complicated turnout than usual. I mean, usually your turnout involves you either have to return your absentee ballot or you need to show up at the polls. And, there's just so many more ways to vote in different states. Some of it's before and a lot of it is counting afterwards. So, look, it is going to be about get out the vote, but there are going to be more layers to that than there have been before.
And listen, if you've only got one outlier, and your whole list is Real Clear Politics, poll of polls. And these are why these guys like Steve Kornacki, these guys on MSNBC all day showing how much Biden's going to win by how much. They did this the last time.
And it blew up.
They don't learn from it. Either they don't care, and it's just about telling the choir what they want to hear. Because people don't show up, especially during COVID, when you start telling them they don't need to. Especially when you're so reliant on minority voters in communities that we know have been impacted more by COVID. And also your campaign, let's be honest, is not as appealing to minority voters. I don't think Joe Biden, because of his own record and who he's been associated with, the statements he's made, like you're not black if you don't vote for me, saying things like that. And also he's not doing as well amongst Hispanic voters. So you put all that together, and you realize, I don't mind that they keep preaching out to their world that they've got it in the bag. Go right ahead. Stay at home. Don't campaign. Don't go on the kit. No get out the vote efforts. Don't knock on any doors. Don't put any phone calls out. Try to rely on just television ads and social media. See how it works out for you. Hope you have your speech ready on election night because Hillary Clinton didn't. You better have your speech ready. Now, am I saying that Republicans have it in the bag? Absolutely not.
No, run like you're behind because you are.
Because I think that every poll shows you're down, so you have to show up better than every poll.
Exactly.
And Republicans are better at doing that, and I do think they're more self-motivated. We don't have to have the labor union come around knock on our door to get us out to vote. Democrats have relied on that more, this kind of community organizing. That's what community organizing is. Republicans don't have to do that.
But Republicans, you're right. Republicans need to be running like they're behind because you know what? They are. If you look at every single poll, they're not all wrong. Not every single poll is wrong. Now, do I think they will be wrong at the end of the day? Yes. But when you're not up 15 and not up 10, guess what? Run like you're behind because that's how you win.
Yep. All right, folks, second half hour coming up with Jay Sekulow Live. Take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. As always, support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.